Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, October 30th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Another crazy day in the world of MMA. Lots of news to talk about, so let's get right into it. First things first, there was some bad news yesterday. Dana White revealed to the Schmo in an interview that Paulo Costa has hurt his bicep, and he's had surgery on it, and he'll be out, according to Dana White, for 8 months. So the fight with Israel Adesanya that had been planned for the UFC card in Vegas in March has been scrapped, at least for the time being. A later report by Ariel Helwani said that, according to Waleed Ismail, who is Costa's manager, he'll only need 4 months and he'll be back in April. But I'm not completely buying that. I mean, bicep surgery is a pretty big deal. He'll need, obviously, rehab after as well. So it looks like Costa's going to be out for a little while now. And Adesanya is already on social media calling out other people to fight him. And that one guy that he really wants, it seems like, is Yoel Romero. And I think that's a great fight. I mean, I would definitely watch that fight. I think we all would. But there's other guys in the division, I think, that deserve this title shot a little bit more right now than Yoel Romero. Don't get me wrong. Yoel is a beast, and he's an amazing fighter. And honestly, he would give such a great fight to Adesanya. And we would get to see him test his wrestling and just really push him to the limit, because Yoel is an elite fighter who can go 5 hard rounds. But the thing is, if you look at his resume, he's lost 3 of his last 4 fights. I don't know if that's really deserving of a title shot. He lost twice to Whitaker, 2 close fights, and then he lost to Costa in his last fight. An amazing fight. And that's the thing. He has lost 3 of his last 4, but those 3 fights, 1 fight of the night. So he's always in a good fight. And the other fight was the knockout of Rockhold, which he missed weight for. Otherwise, he would have won a bonus for that. Like, the guy's a bonus machine. So I'd watch Adesanya and Romero, no doubt about it. We all would. I just think there's some other guys that deserve the title shot a little bit more, including Jared Cannonier. I think Jared Cannonier right now is on a really nice roll, and he's on a 3-fight win streak, 3 knockouts, Jack Hermanson, Anderson Silva, David Branch. The Hermanson win was very impressive. I think you could give him the title shot against Adesanya, keep him busy until Costa gets back. Or I think you could also look at the winner of Darren Till and Kelvin Gastelum. I know that Darren Till is making his debut at 185. We all know that, and he hasn't won a fight in a while since the Stephen Thompson fight, which was very controversial. But Darren Till is a big name, and he's a big draw, especially over there in Europe. He's only 26 as well. He's getting better. If he goes out there and beats Gastelum, especially if it's like by stoppage, I think you could easily jump him in line to get him to fight Adesanya. And if Till wins, I'd like to see him call out Adesanya. And same with Gastelum, to be completely honest. Even though Gastelum did lose to Adesanya earlier this year, that was one of the best fights of the year at UFC 236. So if Kelvin goes out there and beats Till, he could easily jump back in line as well. So I think those are the kind of the guys you're looking at. Robert Whitaker, you have to mention him as well as the former champ, but he did get knocked out, and it wasn't a very competitive fight. But he still is the number one ranked guy, right? So I think Robert Whitaker is right there as well, but he probably needs to see another win. And then you're looking at guys like Hermanson, Brunson, Heinisch. Those guys aren't even really in the conversation, in my opinion. The only other guy is John Jones, but Dana White already shot that down. He says it's not going to be Adesanya versus Jones. He wants Israel to fight a couple times at 185 before he moves up to 205 to fight John Jones, if that even ever happens. I'd like to see that fight, but won't be happening anytime soon. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I feel like Adesanya definitely needs to get a fight book, because he took like no damage against Whitaker. He's in the prime of his career. Get him a fight. Get him to headline a card in the early part of next year. And I guess if Romero's the only option, do that fight. Why not? I just think Cannonier deserves it a bit more right now. And I also feel like maybe the winner, Till and Gastelum, could jump in line as well, just based on the fact they're coming off a win. Romero's great. He needs to get a win, though. He lost his last fight to Costa. And in my opinion, he needs to jump back in the win column. He hasn't won a fight in a little while now. So both would be great fights. Don't get me wrong. I'm disappointed the Costa fight's not happening. We all are. That was going to be a fun one. But hey, injuries happen in MMA. It looks like he's going to be out for a little while. All right, some other news here. Kat Zingano has officially signed with Bellator. So this has been heavily rumored for a long time now, and now it's official. So Kat Zingano is the newest member of the Bellator family. Great signing by Bellator. You know, when she got released by the UFC, it was very strange. First off, she did have a losing record in the UFC, so we have to remember that. She only went 3-4, but if you look at who she fought, she was fighting elite competition almost the whole time. And the last fight with Megan Anderson was a freak kind of injury with the toenail and the eye thing. Now, the thing that I thought was weird was when she was released, she was like, oh, I'm working on some other projects, and we couldn't figure out a date and time. And then she later stated that she was doing like a television show, and the filming just didn't coincide with the schedule the UFC wanted her on. I thought that was kind of weird. I just think they released her for whatever reason, and it worked out in her favor, I think, because according to Zingano, she got offered even more money than she expected by Bellator. So Bellator obviously has deep pockets, and they apparently have really reached into the coffers to sign Katsingano here. So great signing. I mean, she will be fighting at featherweight, and they need all the women they can in that weight class. Scott Coker has a nice little division going on there at 145. It's a division the UFC never was able to build. And at Bellator now, they have Julia Budd as champ. Julia Budd's a tremendous fighter, very underrated fighter. Chris Cyborg, obviously a huge signing, and Kat Zagano now. So they got three like near elite fighters. And you know, look at Zagano. Yeah, again, 3-4 in the UFC. She's actually lost four of her last five, but she has a knockout win over Amanda Nunes. She has a knockout win over Misha Tate. She submitted Raquel Pennington. She beat Mary Ronell. Those are four top 10 wins, top 15 wins. I know Misha's retired now, but she has a win over Nunes by knockout. Nunes is the best female fighter of all time, probably. Obviously, the Anderson fight, I think that one was kind of fluky the way it ended, but she did lose. The Kaylin Vera fight was disappointing. The Pena fight was disappointing as well. The Ronda Rousey fight, I mean, that was at the height of Ronda Rousey's career. So to me, like, there are some excuses to be made for some of her losses. At the same time, though, she does need to get back in the win column. So I wouldn't give her a title shot right away. I know some people were saying maybe she'll just fight the winner of Cyborg and Bud. I think she needs to get one win. So I don't know who she'll match up with. Maybe that's Olga Rubin, the girl that Bud just fought. Maybe she could fight her and probably finishes her, if I had to guess. And then you can kind of build her to the audience at Bellator. I mean, not everyone's going to be too familiar with Katsingano at this point. She hasn't fought too much lately, but she still is a decently sized name as far as UFC fans go. So they'll tune in, I think, to watch her fight. So yeah, great signing in my opinion here by Bellator. They need to really beef up that division a little bit more. And again, kind of a weird release by the UFC and just weird explanation by Katsingano as to why it didn't work out with them. But I think it really did in the end actually work out in her favor, like going to Bellator, where she'll probably fight for the most part easier competition, except for when she steps up and fights Bud and Cyborg. But that'd be the fighter she'd be fighting in the UFC anyways if she had got to that title picture. And again, she has a knockout win over Amanda Nunes. It was 5 years ago, but you can't forget that. That's a massive win in her career. All right, a couple other things here. Yair Rodriguez has challenged Conor McGregor. So everyone's calling Conor McGregor out these days, and now Yair is calling him out. And why not? I mean, you might as well throw your hat in there. Yair coming off. He's on a 3-5 unbeaten streak. He had the knockout win over Jung, the win over Stevens, great fight, and the no contest for Stevens. He's obviously had a great career in the UFC. Really a really fun fighter to watch. Having said that, Conor's not a 145er anymore, unless Yair is willing to move up to lightweight, which doesn't really make sense considering he's kind of in line to fight for a belt at some point at 145. I just don't see why Conor would even contemplate this fight. It doesn't make sense. I think Cowboy right now is definitely the front runner to get that matchup. Gaethje, I think, is actually a distant second, I think, at this point. I believe that Cowboy will get that fight with Conor. But yeah, Rodriguez, I mean, you might as well throw your name in there, but I just don't see it happening. And the other guy who threw his name in there was Paul Felder. Paul Felder also called out Conor McGregor. He wants to do a Irish-American versus real Irishman fight to determine who the toughest Irish fighter in the UFC is. So I thought that was kind of cool by Paul Felder. I don't see him getting that fight either, but at least Felder's on a nice little win streak at 155. And he obviously has in good with the UFC being a commentator for them. So maybe he's got a little bit of clout, but again, I don't see that happening. I think Cowboy's going to get the fight with Conor in January at UFC 246. Cowboy deserves it. He's been around forever. He deserves a nice big payday against Conor. It's going to be huge numbers. And Cowboy, in my opinion, deserves that fight. I think Conor wins that fight, and then he probably fights the winner of Ferguson and Khabib next year for the belt. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, if you have to guess, it's going to be Cowboy versus Conor. And these guys calling him out, why not? Just get your name in the headlines, but it's probably not going to happen. Now, here's some kind of strange news that kind of popped up yesterday. Diego Sanchez allegedly is not under UFC contract anymore. Very, very strange. I mean, Diego, obviously a longtime UFC fighter. He's been around forever, 15 years now in the UFC. There was kind of rumors lately that he'd be fighting Emil Weber Mech, which would be a pretty good fight, I think, actually. But Damian Maia also called out Diego Sanchez. So guys are still calling him out. But apparently, according to the Joe Rogan podcast, Diego Sanchez is not under contract with the UFC. And he's actually looking to fight in at a Lethwei over in Asia. So that's interesting. I don't know what's going to happen here. I feel like he'll probably figure out a way to come back to the UFC. Just because he's not under contract doesn't mean they don't want him back. But yeah, it definitely was a little surprising that news came out yesterday. I mean, maybe he wants to try something new just to do that and not do MMA anymore, just to do some striking. But it's kind of strange too at the same time, because I don't think he's completely shot as a fighter. Like he did lose to Chiesa, didn't get submitted though. And before that, he beat Mickey Gall and Craig White and looked really good in those fights. So, you know, there's been times where Diego looked like he was completely done in the sport, but He's really bounced back, I think, decently well. And I'd like to see either the Mech fight or the Maya fight. I mean, these guys are two pretty good fighters calling him out, right? So to me, there's still fights for Diego Sanchez. He's only 37. He's not like super old. He's not like in his 40s, but maybe he wants to challenge himself in another sport, see how his striking goes. But yeah, I was a little surprised by this news. I just feel like the story may be getting a little bit overblown because, again, he could easily resign with the UFC. I don't see him going to Bellator. I think it's either UFC or maybe he tries this Lethwei thing out. But I really do believe that eventually he'll figure out a way to get back to the UFC. I mean, the guy's been around forever, 15 years in the UFC. You know, he has a lot of clout with Dana White, with the UFC matchmakers. I just don't see him being released just like that. I feel like there's going to be a way for them to keep him around. And again, there's guys calling him out like Mech and Maya, who I think those would both be pretty good fights, especially Maya. Again, you know, Diego Sanchez never been submitted. Never. 41 fights, never been submitted. So the Maya fight to me is very intriguing, actually. All right, a couple of fight announcements. These are fights that are actually happening. UFC Sao Paulo gets a light heavyweight bout between Mauricio Shogunhu and Paul White. Paul Craig, excuse me. What do I think about this fight? I don't know. I mean, to me, it's kind of a strange matchup. I guess that there wasn't many options for Mauricio Shogunhu at this point. He was supposed to fight, who was it? Sam Alvey. Sam Alvey pulled out recently. He was injured. So now Shogun's going to fight Paul Craig. Shogun actually is coming off a really nice win over Tyson Pedro last December. It's been a while, but he had that nice knockout, big upset there, third round TKO. He's won four of his last five fights, including a win over Corey Anderson, which was a very controversial fight. He should have lost that decision in Brazil, but still has the win on his resume. The only loss in his last 5 years is to Anthony Smith. So Shogun, surprisingly, has actually looked decent lately, but again, he is getting up there in age 37, but a very old 37. He's taken a ton of damage in his career, been fighting forever. And now he takes on Paul Craig. Paul Craig, a lot younger at 31. Paul Craig coming off a nice win over Vinicius Moreira. He is overall 4-4 in the UFC and kind of a funny fighter, right? The four wins by submission, all won in the force of the night. Two of them in the third round against Kennedy and Chekwood and Megamed Ankalaev, which were like shocking comeback submissions in the third round. And then the four losses he has are all by stoppage. So he either finishes you or gets finished himself. He's never been the distance in his career. 16 fights all ended inside the distance. 12 wins for him inside the distance, four against him. This fight, I doubt, goes three rounds. I like Shogun, though, personally. I think that he probably knocks Paul Craig out. You know, Shogun actually has a decent ground game, tough to submit, only been submitted three times in his career. Chael did it a few years ago. It's been 6 years on since Chael did it. And Forrest Griffin did it in his debut 12 years ago. And the other one was to Renato Bobby Sobral back in 2003. So those are the only submissions he's ever had against him. Paul Craig could get him down and finish him. And Shogun, again, at some point, will start showing those signs of wear again. But I just feel like this matchup against Craig actually is a favorable matchup for Shogun. I like him a little bit in this fight. Probably, I think, knocks Craig out. Another fight for UFC Sao Paulo. That's coming up in a few weeks, by the way. Tracy Cortez against Vanessa Mello. Mello's filling in for Duda Santana. So Tracy Cortez was an alternate or a contender series fighter. And she was just signed to the UFC recently. She beat Maria Agapova on the Contender Series overall on a six-fight win streak. Great story for a Invicta fighter. She has a decent amount of experience fighting Kabachi. Only been fighting as a pro since 2017, but does have a couple decent wins so far. And she'll be taking on Vanessa Mello. Pull her out here. Vanessa Mello, she is 10-6 in her career. Coming off a loss to Irina Aldana, took it on short notice, missed weight for that fight. Tough matchup. Before that, won five straight fights, including a win over Jan Finney. She also has a win over Molly McCann, which is obviously a good win now, especially in hindsight. So she has a couple decent wins on her resume, some decent amount of experience. This fight really is a tough one to call. I think Mello fighting in Brazil should help her out, but Cortez, obviously, I think has a higher ceiling in the sport. Tough one to call, coin flip. Maybe a little bit towards Cortez, just based on the young. In fact, she's a little bit younger, but Mello should be competitive in this one. Here's a great fight. Rob Font versus Ricky Simon. Love this fight. UFC Washington, D.C. Awesome fight. Rob Font's been waiting for a fight for a while. He wanted to fight in Boston, which is basically his hometown. Didn't get that fight. Now he'll be fighting against Simon in Washington, D.C. Rob Font is 16-4 in his career. And in the UFC, he's 6-3 with five stoppage wins. So this guy finishes fights, which I love, especially for a 135er. He is very, very good. And he's coming off a nice little win here over Sergio Pettis. Apologize for my dogs again, guys. Always someone at the door here. He's coming off a nice win over Sergio Pettis by decision. And also had that win over Thomas Almeida by knockout, which was solid as well. So he has looked pretty good lately, and he'll be taking on Ricky Simone here, who is coming off a knockout loss to Uriah Faber. And he is 3-1 overall in the UFC, beat Mera Dvalishvili, Montel Jackson, Ronnie Yaya, and was knocked out by Uriah Faber. Tough fight to call. I kind of like Rob Font a little bit, just think he's a little bit more experienced, but definitely an interesting fight. Another one at UFC Moscow, we have Ed Herman against Kadys Ibragimov. Another interesting fight. Ed Herman obviously is very old now, 39 years old. He hasn't looked great, 24-14-1 in his career. He is coming off a nice win over Patrick Cummins. Before that, lost three straight fights to John Volante, CB Dolloway, and Nikita Krylov. I think at this point he's a little bit shop-worn, but the win over Cummins was pretty solid. So I don't think Ed Herman's completely done in his career, and he takes on Kadys Ibragimov here, who actually lost his UFC debut, and he didn't look too good in that fight against Da'an Jung. He was lost by submission, guillotine choke. Very disappointing loss, I think, for him in his debut. But he still is, I think, more talented fighter than Ed Herman, a lot younger as well. So I think Ibragimov probably wins this fight. Probably does so by submission, if I had to guess, or maybe by knockout. But Ed Herman, at this point, I think, can be finished rather easily. And the last fight, Chas Skelly versus Grant Dawson. Chas Skelly is another fighter I think is pretty solid at times. Skelly is 18-4 in his career, and he's coming off a win over Jordan Griffin, and he takes on Grant Dawson, who's looked good in the UFC as well. And Grant Dawson is, what's his record in the UFC? He's 14-1 in his career. In the UFC, he is, let me check here. He is 2-0 in the UFC, beat Julian Rosa and Mike Tredano. So he looked pretty good as well. Yeah, I think I like Grant Dawson in this fight. Chas Skelly getting up there in age a little bit. So I would like Dawson to win this fight. Anyways, I think that's it for today, guys. And the dogs are actually going nuts, so I apologize for that. But I can't control them right now. I'm not in the same room as them, so it's unfortunate. But anyways, thanks again for tuning in today for the podcast. You can check me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAoddsMaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Check me out at bjpenn.com, mmarings.net, and check out the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Anchor, everywhere you find your podcast, you can find this podcast. All right, guys, have a good day. I'll talk to you later. Bye.